Well, now what's really scary is where I'm going to have you turn. Open up to the book of Revelations. The church is about to receive a new revelation of the risen Christ. And I knew something was coming when I, during the conference, when the Lord took over Tim Stemple. You know, Tim and I are relatively conservative people. You know, we really like to have the plan, and we like to have the plan about the plan. And then we want, you know, the plan printed in triplicate and filed in sequence. Thank you. You know, and I mean, he's very, you know, I understand that. I'm kind of that way, too. But in this walk, you know, you find out that you're just not in charge. And if you try and remain in charge, that's when you get in trouble. And so I knew something was up when I heard the... And I haven't talked with him about it. We haven't fellowshipped. Really, when things like this happen anymore, I go vertical instead of horizontal. I want to see what's going on. And it was the morning when he just started saying things like, Jesus is the best friend you'll ever have. Boy, that's true, isn't it? Oh, yeah. I mean, he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He is your best friend. But then he said, but he'll never be familiar. He'll never be familiar. He'll never start... I don't want to put words in his mouth, but the way I heard it was like he'll never become... How about the word flippant? He'll never become flippant. He is your best friend. By the way, he does have a sense of humor. He really does. I think there's going to be a lot of joy and a lot of laughter in heaven. Music and I think it's going to be a wonderful place. But our Lord, he is Lord God Almighty. Jesus Christ is God. And the charismatic movement was of God. And there was a separation. And really anybody could be separated that wanted to be. It's not like he was just picking and choosing. But it was a separation. If you wanted to go deeper into the things of God and be filled with the Holy Ghost and begin yielding over to the Holy Spirit and allowing him to begin using you, there was a separation beginning in the 70s that's been going on now for a long time. And there's a remnant out of the remnant. Can I say it that way? I mean, there's a remnant of Christians in the whole earth that out of the whole population, if today was the last day, there would be a separation. And there'd be a remnant of the humanity that is born again, a remnant that trusts in the blood of Jesus rather than the blood of bulls and goats or the law or Muhammad or anything else. They trust in Jesus. That's a remnant out of humanity. But out of that remnant, there's a remnant. And that's what was going on during the time of the charismatic renewal. To be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now the whole remnant's going to heaven. We're not talking about that. What we're really talking about is the fast going to go faster. And the slow going to go slower. Several times the Lord has prophesied that through more than one vessel here. And then a distant friend of mine, we're not real close friends, but somebody that I trust, he wrote an article. And I like the way that the Holy Spirit showed it to him. He said, what's happening now? This there's another remnant, let me say it this way, coming out of the charismatic renewal. We could say it this way. The fast are going to go faster and the slow are going to go slower. Or you could say there's now coming a separation or a remnant or a division between those who are Spirit-filled and those who are Spirit-led. And I can see the Lord preparing us for this, even in the teachings that he's done through me over the last year, because we didn't really call it a series. I may later put him into a series, but it all began with Dave that one day. He was just teaching and stepping down off the platform there, and he just said, he just pointed over this way, kind of to where I'm sitting. Looked like he was pointing it right at me. I don't think he was. Might have been. But he said, you do know that before Jesus can conquer your city, he first has to conquer you. He first has to conquer you. And I died right there. I don't remember anything else the man said. Because I know that I thank God for the difference I see in my life. From the time that I got born again until now. And there's been a lot of change. I thank God for that. But see, if you and I could just go have coffee and we could both be friends. be loving each other, to be honest with each other. I still got a lot of change that needs to happen in me. I look in that mirror at Christ and I look at my walk. And it's a wonder I'm saved. Even though, with all giving Him all the glory, I look at how I was. And I thank God that I'm not really like that anymore. I'm really not. That guy's dead. My job is to keep him buried. You ever notice he tries to rise up? Sticks a hand up out of the grave once in a while. I go smack him. No. Throw some more dirt on him. Keep that guy down, you know. I think Dave said one time, he says, I'm pretty good at keeping that old man buried. Now, every now and then he'll get out and take about 3 steps, but I'll get him. You know? We all understand what that's, the flesh trying to raise up. You're not really the old man. But now there's coming this separation. And again, those of you that's heard these messages, I'm just trying to summarize a little bit. Romans 8:14, don't turn there. It's one that says, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As long as I thought that was a capital S. See, we all want to be led by the Holy Spirit. Don't you? Well, let's say that this way. The remnant that's coming out wants to be led by the Holy Spirit. I am so tired of my plan. I am so tired of any church's plan. I want His plan. See that? And that's the remnant. If you're sitting here, or if you're even hearing this message, I mean, there's many people around the world that are just as much a member of the prayer center as you are sitting here. They just live in Germany or New Zealand or wherever around the world. But there's a hunger. There's a heart cry. I want Jesus's plan. I want God's plan for my life. I do not even want my own agenda. So for years, I was praying for that. Before the Born Again Trail, I was praying for that. But I wasn't getting a whole lot of it. And that's because I didn't understand what the verse really meant. See, because what it's really saying is, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's not really even yet talking about the leadership that comes by the Holy Spirit. That's a little S in that verse. Should be. I mean, in the King James, it's a big S, but really you can tell from the context, he doesn't talk about the Holy Spirit till verse 16. So what he's really saying there, he said, look, he's not even saying you're not born again. If the thief made it to heaven, there's going to be a lot of folks there. Just their testimony is the blood is enough. Now, is that, you understand what I'm saying? We're not talking about that. We're talking about your walk in this life. How much of your promised land, which is God's plan for your life, do you possess? See, that's what we're talking about. Well, there is a leadership that comes by the Holy Spirit. I could go over right now to Acts 16, where Paul and Silas, I think it was, they didn't know what to do. They had finished their assignment. They thought, well, maybe we should go to Bithynia. Maybe we should go to Asia. And the Holy Spirit kept saying no. And they received the mind of Christ from heaven. The Holy Spirit showed Paul a vision, a night vision, of a man come over into Macedonia and help us. Do y'all remember what happened to them when they got there? By the time, they cast the devil out of that fortune-telling girl. I mean, it's a good thing to cast the devil out of anybody. And their reward, their earthly reward, got thrown in prison after they got beaten. Whipped, the back's bleeding, put in prison, in the stocks, back in the deepest part. How dead you got to be. Said, all right, now I'm ready for the next step of your plan. That was a good one, Lord. See, that's what it's talking about there. It's saying, you're not even qualified. You're not ready yet to receive the instructions that come by the Holy Spirit until you've first been conquered by the new nature. Well, I look in the mirror. There's some conquering yet to be done. See, and that's why it says, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That there's several words, sons. The writer there, Paul, could have chose the word infant, indicating born again. But he doesn't use the word infant. He uses the word, I believe it's huios. I don't know if that's correct or not, but it's the word that they use at bar mitzvah. Bar mitzvah service is like a 12-year-old. The young man has now reached, the whole ceremony is our child who, our son who was a child. We now declare he has come of age. He is mature enough now to participate with us in the family business. That's the word that the Holy Spirit chose to use there, meaning, you ready to participate with Jesus in the family business, are you? God and Sons Incorporated is about souls. And He's got a place for you in it. He's got a, there's a place for you. Now, you say, well, that's what I want. That's what everybody's been praying for. That's what I want. I want to know my place. I want to know my instructions. What is your plan for my life? And He says, well, let me look at you. Let me see if you're qualified. Let me see if you're ready for your bar mitzvah. Let's see, last week you got offended because somebody sat in your chair. I'm not sure you're really ready for Macedonia. I'm not sure if you're really ready yet. I mean, last week I asked you to give $50 into the offering. And you negotiated it all the way down to 50 cents. I mean, I want to use you, but I don't know if you're ready to hear my plan. And it's, Dave has been teaching this for years. He said, he uses the analogy of letting, when Tawny was like maybe 5 years old. And he might, you know, she could understand English. And he could say, you know, Tawny, I want you to get in the car, drive down to the store and get a jug of milk for your mother. Well, she's only this tall. I mean, it's not like she doesn't understand what he said. But her little legs won't even reach the pedals. She has no capacity to perform what she was told. And that's the problem. Holy Spirit comes and begins giving you the real plan. It's not that you don't understand. But you have no capacity to do it. Because there's not yet been enough transformation to that image of Christ in us. So we try. You know what? You pray and you begin to hear and you try in your best human efforts. You ever try to love somebody with human effort? Works for a little while. See, the only way you can really love somebody like, you know, really ugly, bad, mean person, is you got to be love. You can't decide. You can't be loved by an act of your will. The potter has to take the clay. And God doesn't force the clay. He said, well, I can't accomplish this the way I am. He says, get on the wheel. Get on the potter's wheel. Let me spend a little time praying in tongues. I'm standing in front of you. Spend a little time praying in tongues. Spend a little time in my word. Spend a little time worshiping. That's what we're really going to look at today. Worshiping the Lord. Spend a little time. Let the potter. I'm not through with you. I think I have jumped off the wheel probably 1,000 times. Any of y'all ever jump off the wheel? You know what I mean by jumping off the wheel? Maybe you've been through a whole bunch of impasses and you did pretty good. But now you've come up to one that even you don't want to change. Or maybe you feel, it's impossible to change. You know, it's not, sometimes you don't want to change it. Sometimes even you're just convinced you can't change it. Maybe you've tried so many times before, you know. But you just can't. At least that's what you think. He woke me up the other morning. When I woke up, you ever wake up with, I am going to read out of Revelations. You think I'm not going to. Hey, I didn't have any notice here. I'm doing the best I know how. I am on Holy Spirit pilot here. I have no time to prepare any agenda. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Getting a white hanky already. Glory to God. Yes, sir. Okay, I don't want to get too far away here now. Okay, back to the pictures. He woke me up the other morning. And it's like I've been watching this movie. But the movie was really unusual. I was sitting in a classroom, just as real. And I don't really think in the dream it was Jesus at the chalkboard. I really think it was the Holy Spirit. Now, how in the world you know that in a dream? I don't know. But this chalkboard was not like any chalkboard I ever seen. It was actually a pictures. The Holy Spirit would think it and I would see it. And what he was showing me, remember I told you about that 42-year habit that I had. And it's not like I didn't try. I tried. I mean, I had it for 20-some-odd years after I got saved. So many other things dropped off immediately after I got born again. Alcoholism, gone. Never had another drink. Pornography, I told you about me loading up all my pornography in the boxes and taking it to the dump. All of that changed immediately. My desire to go to the bars, and which had been my whole life, just gone. My desire just funny how suddenly money just didn't mean much to me anymore. My life was just not about money anymore. Never has been since. But boy, there were some other things that hung on. There's still some things hanging on today. Delete that part off the tape. But now, this is the honesty part. You think I've arrived? I'm still dealing with stuff. But let's talk about that 42-year one, because I woke up and I was seeing me still in that habit. During that period of time when I was confessing the word over at the ugly building for years. And it was most of those confessions were out of Romans 6. And they went something like, how can I continue in sin being dead to sin? I am dead indeed unto sin, but I am alive unto God. My body has become a servant of righteousness. But all the time that I was saying those things out of my mouth in the natural, I still, in my view, I was bound. I was just watching myself. It was like a replay of what I already lived through. But then the day came when it was gone. Now that one was not easy. I told you before. That one was with withdrawals. That one is like the scourging post. A year and a half before that battle was over, and I could have given in at any time. Now it's been 3 years over. Thank you, Lord. It's not like that now. Thank God forever. Now the reason for the movie, this is what I watched it. I was just watching it. And he says, let me say it just like you said it, Lord. He said, you were free from that. In truth, you were free from the day you were born again. And I heard Dave's voice. The Holy Spirit only has one thing to work with, and that's your new nature. He said, truth didn't change. You changed. So all those years, and there's a lot of years, where to me I had come up to an impasse that it was such a vertical sheer cliff that it was so tall and so impossible that to everything in my perception there was no way I could ever get over it, ever conquer it. He said, every year that you believed that, that was a lie. Truth does not change. And what he's really dealing me with about on that particular morning was abundance. He says, my inheritance. He says, the things that you're looking at right now in the natural, have you constrained? Your thinking is very much in the same mode now concerning this abundance as it was then concerning your freedom. And the truth of the matter is, you have this inheritance just as much as you had that freedom. It is just as real right now. And you can possess it this year, 5 years from now. I don't know if I have 42 years. Maybe. I'm not 60 yet. Maybe. You see what he's trying to get across to me? And I'm going, and I'm still not saying it. It's funny how you can receive things in your spirit. I'm still not wrapping words around the revelation enough. I'm doing my best. Let me try it. Let me take another run at it. This just happened recently. I'm still digesting this. From his world, from God's side of the equation, from God's side of the door, I don't know how to put this. From where he sits, you are so free. From where he sits, he's going, he's nicer than this. If I was there, I'd be going, what's wrong with you? If I was there talking to me. I mean, from his side, yes, sir. This is what Dave keeps talking about. This is the place called done. Amen. That's what it is. God is, he's looking at this from that place already, the place called done. And he's trying to take us over there and get us to look back at us and we're go to me. I'm not talking to you. I'd be looking back at me. If I could somehow be there looking back at me, I'd be going, boy, what's wrong with you? Can't you see how done this is? There's no place for doubt from the place called done. And we've got to let the Holy Spirit take us over there and look at things from the place called done. Yes, sir. Boy, now, if you haven't found revelations by now. Now, we're just going to read a short passage here, Revelations chapter 1. And I've never done hardly any teaching out of the book of Revelations because the Holy Spirit hasn't taught me very much out of the book of Revelations. People ask me all the time questions about the book of Revelations, and I say, well, what does it say? And they'll tell me. I say, that's what I know. And I don't know any more than that unless the Holy Spirit shows me more than that. Okay? And a lot of it I don't understand. And a lot of preachers don't understand it either. I'm just telling you right now. You can, you know, pick your flavor on Revelations practically. But what he is showing me here right now during this season of A Place Called Done. I guess that's what the title we'll put on here. I didn't even know what it was. That's what it is. He's trying to show us from this place called done. I want to show you. Who's showing you? This is what I meant about the body of Christ. In order to do this, you have to have a revelation of Jesus. And the whole church now, there's this separation. This fast is going to go faster. Let's say, I like the way my friend said it. There's a separation now between those that are spirit-filled and those that are spirit-led. And the point is, you can't be led by the Holy Spirit unless you let that new nature conquer you. To the degree that the new nature conquers you. To that same degree, you're qualified to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because His plans, you just might as well know it, are usually opposite to your flesh. You just might as well know that. Anymore, I pray completely different now, and I have for years, for all those prayer requests that come in from nice people. I understand what they're saying. But the prayer request goes, and we are going to get to Revelations, that the prayer request goes something like, please, Brother Gary and Sue, would you pray for me that God, this place where I work is all heathens. Please. I mean, they cuss and all they talk about is bad movies and escapades in the sexual arena. And you know, please pray that God would put me into a place that's all sweet, nice Christians. And in the old days, I probably would. But now that I understand what this is about, my response is something like, I can't pray against God's will for your life. He's got you as a light in a dark place. You ought to feel a little bit happy that the Holy Spirit feels like you're qualified enough to represent Jesus, to represent the King of Kings in a lost and dead world. I mean, what you need is more empowering by the Holy Ghost so you can understand what it is He's called you to do. See the difference? See how everything changes? But that person, God loves that person, man. But they've not yet graduated. They haven't had their bar mitzvah yet. They don't understand yet that this kingdom is not about them. It's about the ones that are lost. You're the ones that made it. Glory to God. You're in. What about all the ones that didn't? Now, what we're about to show you, this part right here, when if you ever get to see, if you can ever see Jesus like John saw it, it eliminates all Carlton teachings. Hindus are not saved. Muslims are not saved. No, they're not either. Atheists are not saved. I mean, that's a one world religion that's coming. Because, you know, it just appeals to everybody. This is part of the persecution in the last days. And God's trying to raise up some folks that can stand up under it. Are you one of them? See, this abundance that's coming is not about swimming pools. Although God's not against swimming pools. I'm helping restore one right now. We're trying to raise one from the dead. It's been dead for years. We're trying to get some life back in the thing. But that's not what life is about. It's about a lost world. Lost world. And what amazes me, this is John. Of all the apostles, the one that outlived all the others, the one that we call the apostle of love, the one who probably knew Jesus better while he was on earth than any of the others, the one that was leaning on Christ's bosom at the Last Supper, the one that received the whisper, it's the one that dips the sop with me. Inside information. That kind of relationship. He knew Jesus probably better than any human that's ever walked the earth. But notice what happens when he sees the risen Christ. Notice what happens when he sees Jesus as he is now. Revelation chapter 1, written by John. We'll start in verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. Then he lists them all. But what we're looking at today is not teaching those lessons. I want you to see Jesus. Like John saw him that day. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet like undefined brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Now notice John's reaction when he saw him. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, this is the first thing he always says, fear not. Now that's as far as we're going to go today. Boy, would I love to delve into this. If we really, how do I describe it now? Here's the way things will change. John already loved the Lord. He was on that island, the Isle of Patmos, in his old age because he was such a faithful witness to the one who died for him. I mean, John loved Jesus. His whole life, John was the man that Jesus entrusted Mary to when he was crucified. He said, John, behold your mother. Nobody loved Jesus like John, I don't think. Or no one knew him any better, let's say it that way. But see, when John saw him as he is, Jesus is the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. And he lives forevermore. And when anyone sees him, they fall at his feet as one dead. Now this little flippant attitude that Jesus is my buddy, when he shows up, that'll be like if he was just to walk in. I just wonder, meditating on this now, what would it be like, since Dave always has me do the offerings, or most of the time, which is not something I greatly enjoy, but I am an obedient person. I understand authority. I've just often wondered, now what would happen if right in the midst, while I'm facing you guys up there and I'm saying whatever I'm saying and the buckets are on the platform, I just wonder what would happen if suddenly the risen Christ just appeared on the platform behind me. How much of what you have would be his? Not only your money, your possessions, but your life, your family. I mean, if we ever see him, it's over. And that's exactly what's about to happen. This remnant that's going to go faster, this remnant that's spirit-led. I think we're coming into a time. Whether it be by dreams, whether it be by vision, whether it be by revelation, I don't know. We're going to spend some time at his feet. And we're going to become like one dead, to the point he'll have to lay his hand on us. He'll have to impart something to us for us to even function in this realm. And I mean all that we have, all that we are, all that we ever will have, all that we ever will be, I mean instantly, it's his. We've got to come to a new level of revelation of the King of Kings. Jesus, say it with me, Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Jesus is God.
Jesus is God.
Hallelujah. 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 And I think it's wonderful that he is my best friend. It is wonderful. He is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is intimate with me. I'm not trying to imply anything else. But I see something happening, and I think the Holy Spirit sees it happening in the body of Christ, where there's a lowering of Jesus. A lowering. Where he's our running buddy. No, he is not your running buddy. Does that make sense to you guys? You know what I'm saying when I say that? Now and at the same time, see, I watched a program on one of those Discovery type channels, watching these Muslims as they journeyed to Mecca. I think it was Mecca anyway. They were on one of those pilgrimages. And they just had a television crew going along. I got to tell you, I was impressed with the humility. I mean, this particular group that was going along the road, every three steps, they would bow. And it was just a gravel, rocky, dirty old road. They would bow. Every three steps, they would get on their knees and give thanks to, in their case, Allah. Now, can you imagine going about 100 miles, walking, but every three steps, you get on your knees, and you bow. And they're doing that before a false god. They're doing it before a false God. The Holy Spirit's not talking about false religion. Neither is he talking about false humility. He's talking about exactly the same kind of thing that happened to John. That what we need to pray is give us a revelation of the risen Christ. Because if you see him, you will fall. If you see him, you will bow. If you see him, you will serve. Amen? So we're not talking about that. We're not talking about something false, something contrived. I'm not even wanting you to take three steps and bow towards the prayer center. I'll slap you silly. I find you doing it. Oh, and then repent later. I'll repent right after that. We're not talking about that kind of thing. But what we need is a revelation of who it is that died for us. They asked me in Korea. I think the second time I went might have been the first time. I had opportunity to fellowship in some of the homes. They have cell groups and cell leaders. And these were younger people, very well educated. Most of them college graduates. Most of them in semiconductor type business. Korea is very high tech, that part of it anyway, where I was. These are intelligent, well-educated people, mostly 20s and probably 30s. And they had heard my testimony about all week and all the things that's happened and were, you know, given teaching from the Bible and then giving examples from mine and Sue's life, being healed of cancer and never going back to the old life. Let's just say it that way. But anyway, this question came up. And this one young man, I guess he's about 30, 31. And his question was basically, he says, what causes a person right at the prime of their life, talking about me? You know, I got saved when I was 33. We had started attending the prayer center about age 45. He says, what causes a person right at the prime of their life to just do a complete about face and just give the rest of their life to Jesus? What causes that? Nobody had ever really asked me that question before. So I'm looking, said, Lord, what is the answer to that? And in my case, I know exactly what it is. I said, well, because I was a great sinner, I really was. When I got born again, it seemed like for the first 2 years, even though the Lord loved me and showed me a lot of wonderful things, but it was like for the first 2 years, he would just continually show me all of the things from my life that I had done that caused me to deserve hell. Even good things that I had done. What Sue and I thought were good things at the time. And I've told you before about this. One time we paid for an abortion. Little preacher in the making there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Getting those lungs exercised. Maybe preaching in India where they have no microphones. Glory to God. But it seemed like the Holy Spirit, I am not a guy who takes salvation lightly. I told him, I said, he showed me over and over again. One time Sue and I paid for an abortion before we got saved, thinking that we were doing the right thing to help this young lady. Now knowing that we killed an infant. We paid basically to have a hitman kill a baby. That alone is enough for hell, I'm pretty sure. Not counting the fact I was just born with that nature. I say all that to say this, what I was telling him, I said, I'm a guy who knows he was going to hell. And to me, when you at the edge of looking down into hell, which to me looks like boiling lava, and you know that you're going there, and there's no way out ever. And then somebody comes and says, no, let him go free. I will go in his place. Even though he's guilty, I will take his punishment. Let him go free. I said, that is so real to me. I know that I was going to hell. And I know that I'm not going now. And the only reason is because of him. him who died for me. You know what the young man prayed? He lifted his hands. I didn't ask him to. He lifted his hands and he says, God, give me a revelation of hell. I think the church needs a revelation of hell. But I'll tell you right now, that's not enough. What we need is a revelation of Jesus. Part of this happened Wednesday night. Still, the Lord's been teaching me along this line. He's quoted several times in the last couple of weeks from Hebrews, where he says, at this moment, we don't see everything under his feet. We don't, do we? We don't see everything. In heaven, there's not going to be any murder, not going to be any rape, not going to be any earthquakes. But on this earth now, we don't see everything under his feet. But it says we are to look at something. But we see Jesus. And I was going, he's talking about the one John saw. This one. The Alpha, the Omega. The first and the last. In another place here in the book, he says, I was dead. Tells you for sure, it's not God the Father, it's not God the Holy Ghost. It's the Son. I was dead, yet I am alive, and I will live forevermore. Oh, Shandai. We need a revelation of Him. And I believe the Holy Spirit in this hour is going to be doing that very thing. And I believe He's going to be... And I'm not saying you're going to be writing your own book of revelations or anything like that, but I believe that one, he's sending angels out now, I believe. And he's going to bring us to that place that Dave calls done. Somehow, he's got to bring us to that place where he sits, where we can look back from the place called done. Really, that's what faith is. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for. He's going to, from God's vantage point, from where he sits, which is even outside of time, from where he sits, it is done. It is finished. You are saved. You are healed. You are walking in your inheritance. Your family is as it should be, with all of God the head of Christ, Christ the head of the man the head of the woman, everything in order, everything, you name it, from where he sits, that vantage point. It is done. But we have to, by the Spirit somehow, he's got to transport us there. Well, we need to die a little bit at the feet of Christ. I don't know. I wonder how much time went by. I don't know if, I don't think time existed right where John was right there. Let me look at it real quick. Does it say immediately? It says, I saw him and I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me. It doesn't say how long he let him lay there. I think I need to lay there a while. I don't know about you. I said, oh, Lord, don't raise me up too quick, please. I need a revelation of you. You are you and I'm not. You are Lord and I'm not. You are the risen Christ. Now, right at the same time, in order to make our faith effectual, when we step back on this side of the veil, can I say it that way, back from the spirit realm to the realm of the material, what's our confession? As he is, not as he was. As he is, so am I in this world. But you know why that is? Because he is in you. It's because of Christ in us, our hope of glory. Now we're back all the way back to Romans 8:14. We've come full circle back around to Romans 8:14. Christ in us. Has he conquered you? Has he conquered you? Has he conquered your agenda? Has he conquered your goals, your aspirations. You can look at me and tell me there's still some conquering of the flesh to be done. I'm not looking at anybody now. Dave always says, I can tell by looking. We need to do more fasting. Not everybody. How many of y'all want to go back to the way it was before the charismatic renewal? Any takers? You know, tongues is of the devil. Miracles have passed away. God doesn't heal anymore. For benefit of the tape, no hands are going up. Me either. Can't go back there. Well, we're going to be from that place called done. We're going to be living more there. And the day is going to come when I could ask this question. I could ask it to some degree now. I could say, how many of you want to go back to when you ran your own life? Yeah. See, that place already exists with the Father. From His point of view, you're already there. He lives in a place called done. He lives in a place called done. He doesn't change. His word doesn't change. Oh, and get this, His plan doesn't change. His plan doesn't change. Say it with me. As He is, so am I in this world. Say it this way. Jesus, I'm saying this by faith. I'm calling those things which be not as though they were. I say, You are Lord of my life completely. I have no agenda but Yours. I have no plan but Yours. I am bought with a price. My life does not belong to me. I belong to You, Jesus. I am Yours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, help us. Father, help us. Visit us like You visited John. Lord, in those areas where we've not yet let Your nature conquer us, take us to the place called done. Lord, on this side of the veil, it looks so impossible. On this side of the veil, and You know this already, Lord. I'm not telling You anything. But Lord, just like You were schooling me that morning, take me again. And I'm asking You, take this remnant. Take the remnant, not just in this building. Take the remnant, those that are wanting to be Spirit-led, not just Spirit-filled. Lord, take us. We're asking You, Lord. We're giving You authorization. We're praying. We're asking You. Take us to the place called done. And let us begin seeing things from where You sit. Give us this revelation of Christ. Let us spend some time at His feet. And Lord, let Him lay His right hand upon us. Raise us up and say, fear not. Thank You for the place called done. We give You praise for it in Jesus' name. If that's your prayer, say amen. See you in 30 minutes.